voice.
Thank God. In early lunch.
And we're going to address two different questions in this shiur. First of all, when can or must a chazan be removed from leading the prayers? And number two, that when a chazan is removed and replaced with a second chazan, can that chazan pick up from where the old chazan left off, or does he have to go back to some earlier point in the tefilos? I know this is a halacha shiur and not a agadata machshava shiur, like the past few weeks have been, and primarily you owe that to the fact that someone asked me a question over the weekend about replacing a shliach tzibur in the middle of davening, and so that occupied a lot of my time, and hence this is what ended up on my sheet of Mari Mekomos. So we're going to go through just some of the basic sources that pertain to this issue. We'll discover a number of very interesting conceptual points, particularly about the nature of Chazaras Hashatz and the nature of the different components of Chazaras Hashatz. And as well, hopefully, we'll get to a very interesting argument between a father-in-law and a son-in-law, which should be very interesting. So the place to begin is in an interesting Yerushalmi, which seems to be telling a story about a man named Potato. That's how it begins. The way the Rosh quotes it is Potati, but Yerushalmi quotes it as Potato. And what happened was is that he was davening for the Amud, and he lost his voice in the middle. He was Ishtak be'ofanim, ve'ho'ofanim echayas ha'kodesh, b'rash kodom esnasim lumas rafim, lumasam mishabachim ve'omrim, and he lost his voice. And so the question became, obviously, Chazan lost his voice, he cannot keep on davening for the Amud, and so they had to replace him. It was something which the Yerushalmi understood as a davar pasha, that of course the Chazan loses his voice, you replace him. So Asun Shailon Rabbi Ivon, they asked Rabbi Ivo, and Amarlon Rabbi Ivon Bashim Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is amongst maybe the most authoritative Amora that there is. And the answer was Zesha over Tachtov, Yaschil Mimakom Shapasak, that he can pick up from Baruch Kvod Hashem Mimikomo. He does not have to go back to the beginning of Hameir La'aretz. And the problem is, says the Gemara of Hatanina, a Mishnah in Brachos Daf Lamed Daled says, Maschil betchilas bracha sheta'azed, that one must begin from the beginning of a bracha where the Shliach Tzibur made a mistake. The Mishnah is talking about a case where the Shliach Tzibur made some sort of an error, and he got so confused that he didn't remember where he was up to, and there were no sidurim around, and so he had to step down from davening for the Amud, and somebody else stepped up to replace him. And the halacha is, the person stepped up to replace him cannot just continue from the place where the Shliach Tzibur left off, but rather he must go back to the beginning of the bracha. If that applied to this case as well, so then you can't just start off from Baruch Kvod Hashem Mimkomo, you would have to go all the way back to the beginning of the bracha to Hameir La'aretz. And the answer to that, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said, Mikivan danitun kedushta kimo shehi tchilas bracha. That kadosh, 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 Hashem tzivakos, meloch al haaretz kivodo, is equivalent to saying, Baruch ata Hashem yotzer hameoros. That saying kadosh, kadosh, kadosh is also very similar to making a bracha. The idea of a bracha is to give a certain type of kavod and of kedusha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that same goal is accomplished when one says Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh Hashem Tzivakos. In fact, Kadosh, Kadosh can even be viewed as a more ideal type of bracha, because that's a davar shebikedusha. It ordinarily needs 10 people in order to say it, and so therefore it counts as the end of a bracha. V'ein tzarech lachzor l'rosh birkas yotzer. He doesn't have to go back. So what this seems to indicate to us is two things. First of all, it indicates to us that when a Shliach Tzibur loses his voice, so it's certainly okay to replace the Shliach Tzibur. And second of all, it indicates to us that when a Shliach Tzibur loses his concentration and cannot remember what the next lines of davening are, so it's also okay to replace the Shliach Tzibur. I remember when I was younger, we went on a camp trip to Hershey Park. I think that was the only time in my life that I davened at a minyan where nobody had a siddur. Nowadays, everyone has siddurs on their iPhones, but this was back before then, and so there was really nobody there with a siddur.
At this time, they weren't allowed to have a siddur. They weren't allowed to write it down.
That's true as well. But in terms of its practical relevance.
He's not that old.
In terms of
Shulman Levi, Yerushalmi.
I'm pointing out that in terms of practically speaking, it's very unlikely for the situation to come up where no one has a siddur and the shliach tzibur gets so flummoxed that he doesn't remember what to go on. There was only one time in my life where I was conceivably in such a situation where there was no siddur to be found, and there it was actually possible that the shliach tzibur would make a mistake and not remember what to do, and then someone else who was actually better at remembering things would have to pick up in his place. So the Gemara, the next source here, tells us that ta b'chala brachus kulon in ma'alin oso, that if a shliach tzibur makes a mistake, again, let's say he's davening by heart, or he has trouble reading his siddur, or whatever it may be, and he makes a mistake, and he skips a bracha, he skips the second bracha of Shmon Esrei, of Tchias HaMesim, or he skips the bracha of Bonei Yerushalayim, or he starts off from Tchias HaMesim, and then we correct him, and he goes back to Magen Avos, and then he skips Tchias HaMesim and goes straight to Ata Kadosh, and we correct him, and he goes back to Ata Gibor, and then he goes straight to Ata Chonin, and we have to send him back to Ata Kadosh. In all these situations, says the Gemara, he could have skipped every single bracha, and we have to remind him, and he goes back, and nonetheless, says the Gemara, Ein ma'alin oso. Ta b'chala brachos kulon. He made a mistake. Every single bracha he forgot, and we have to remind him, but we have no right to take him away from the amud. However, bevirkas haminim, if he makes a mistake about vilay malshinim, which is a bracha where we daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that all of those people who are missionizing against Klal Yisrael should be humbled and humiliated and lose all of their standing. So then, ma'alin oso, we take him away from the amud, shema minhu, because we're worried that perhaps he's got into his head that he's been swayed or convinced by some of those arguments, and that's why he's not praying that the minim should lose all of their influence, and that's such a person is not qualified to lead the tefillah. A person who's a min, who has machsheves minos, who's thinking basically avodah zarah, should not be leading the prayers for davening to Hashem Yisbarach, and therefore we take him away right away. So this is a third circumstance where we remove the shliach tzibur and replace him with somebody else if the shliach tzibur skips the birkas haminim v'la malshinim al tisikva. A fourth circumstance that the Mishnah Brura infers from this Gemara is the fact that the Gemara begins with the word ta'a. Ta'a. He made a mistake, he made an error, it was an accident. He skipped a bracha by accident. If a shliach tzibur skips a bracha on purpose, you can tell that he gets up there and he says, by the way, people, today we're not saying Bonei Yerushalayim because Berlin is Jerusalem. Let's say that a shliach tzibur gets up and says that, as many shluchei tzibur did in Germany in the 19th century, Rachmana Litzlan. So you got to take him away also. That's not ta'a b'chala brachot. That's his yid b'chala brachot. He deliberately skipped the bracha, and he therefore is not permitted to continue again because he's not. He's sort of removed himself from the community of observant Jews. He should not be leading the prayers.
What if he says the wrong kaddish?
If he says,
he doesn't say the. He leaves out the tiskadeh or something. He says the.
So if it's deliberate or accidental?
Accidental.
If it's accidental, no problem. Let him go.
Him,
yeah, I have to tell you an amazing story. One of my rebbeim was one time during in Avelos. Actually, he was davening for Yartzeit, and he got up and he must have been very tired, and he actually skipped one of the lines in Kaddish. And so everyone started making noise. You skipped a line in Kaddish, and he just kept on going. He was oblivious. He finished off what he was saying, and then he went back right before Osa Shalom, and he put in the line that he had skipped. It was amazing, keeping your head in that type of a circumstance. Many people don't, but he kept his head. So here we have so far four circumstances when the shliach tzibur is removed. And then again, I just have one of the ones that we mentioned earlier. More explicitly, it says, over lefnei ateva v'ta'a, person who is being over lefnei ateva, he's davening chazar sashatz and makes an error, and again, all the poskim say, he makes an error and is unable to regain his concentration, he's unable to remember where he was up to, so therefore, ya'av or achir tachtov, somebody else should take over for him. So these are all four circumstances where the tzibur themselves have to replace the chazan with somebody else. It's not clear, as I noted over here, it's not clear what happens if the chazan decides that he wants to step down. He's feeling a little bit weak, or somebody else asked him to take over in the middle, so let's say he wants to step down. So does he have the opportunity to step down on his own in other circumstances, or do we say that the only time that it's legitimate, the only time that it's permissible for Shluchei Tzibur to switch in the middle are the circumstances when it's obligatory? But if it's not obligatory, then perhaps it's not even permissible. That's not clear from the sources that we've read so far.
Rabbi, you know what I experienced in Atlanta?
What happened?
He actually fell.
Wait.
That's a good reason. In Atlanta.
Don't you remember when I was somebody had to go with his mother to emergency room in the middle of...
So, these things happen.
We'll get there on the second page. It says, we'll get there, Be'ezras Hashem. Happens very often on Yom Kippur.
Yeah.
The chazan's standing there the whole day, and he's exerting himself, and he's fasting, and so it's not uncommon, necessarily, for the chazan to not be able to go on, and someone else needing to replace him.
Yeah, I think everybody's experienced something like that. Moshe said.
And it was Yom Kippur.
Yeah, okay.
So let's go for a second and see if we can solve this question. Are these the only four circumstances when a chazan may be replaced, or are there other circumstances where a chazan may be replaced, such as where the chazan volunteers to step down in favor of somebody else coming in? And again, let's keep in mind that right now we're dealing with replacing a chazan mamish in the middle of Chazaras Hashatz. It may be different if you want to replace a chazan before Chazaras Hashatz begins. That already could be a very different circumstance. There are many more svaros to permit replacing the chazan in between Berachos Kriyas Shema and Chazaras Hashatz. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes the following circumstance. He says, let's say that the chazan is a kohen, and the kohen is not allowed to be under the same roof as a corpse, and it's discovered that there is a corpse somewhere in the building. So the Mishnah Berurah tells us that if the Tumah is a Tumah de'oraisa, if it's something where the Tumah is transmitted from the corpse to the chazan, to the Kohen, on a biblical level, so then there's no choice. You interrupt the chazan in the middle and you say, run out as quickly as possible. You've got to get out of here, because if you stay, so you're being over, albeit accidentally, on the prohibition of the nefesh lo yitama be'amav, on a Kohen becoming tame to a corpse. However,
a more simple thing, if the Kohen has to go on Duchen, somebody replaced him with Chazarat Hashas.
We'll get there. We'll get
the
next.
Every day.
You'll see that it's the next source on the list. Okay, so let's just finish off this. So, however, if it's only a tuma dirabanan, if it's only a rabbinic tuma, either because the tuma itself is only midrabanan, or else the connection between the source of the tuma and the kohen is only a rabbanan connection, such as if you're able to block up all of the doors and windows that are in between the room with the corpse and the room with the kohen, so then the Mishnah Berurah says that it's permissible to allow the chazan to continue to daven.
It's the same roof, though. Doesn't matter.
So it's Tumah with the Rabbanan, that is just
the same roof.
Yeah, so it's with the Rabbanan and not with the Oraita. Okay. If it's open, it will be Oraita. If it's closed, it's
the cat's out of the bag. The guy's dead. Did the Tumah happen? The cat is out of the bag. Didn't the Tumah happen?
Right, so there's a lot of interesting.
If
you block off all of the doors, so then that may reduce the Tumah to being a Tumah dirabanan, because they're not really considered to be under the same roof if there's a thick, solid wall with no holes in it that separate between the corpse, and it's as if there are two buildings that are next to one another, but they're not really the same roof. The wall splits the roof into two pieces. So what Mishnah Berurah seems to indicate to me, I didn't have a chance to look up all the sources that he was based on, those svarim weren't available to me when I was preparing this part of the shiur, but it seems to indicate that we really go to very far lengths in order to prevent the Shmoneh Esrei from being split up. we're willing to say that even though this Kohen is accepting, he is being mistamei, he's becoming impure with Tumah Derabbanan, nonetheless, no one's supposed to make him aware of that in order for him to be able to continue the Chazaras Hashatz. So that seems to say that the Chachamim suspended the obligation that we would ordinarily have to let the Kohen know that he's Tamei, in order, because they felt that it was very important that the same Shlech Tzibur who began Chazaras Hashatz should finish Chazaras Hashatz. So that would tell you that it's a very important thing. Maybe the only time that we remove a Shliach Tzibur in the middle is in one of the four circumstances that we mentioned. Either he loses his voice, or he skips Vilar Malshinim, or he deliberately skips one of the brachos, or when he gets so confused...
Did you say deliberately?
If he deliberately, yes. Or if he gets so confused that he just can't go on. But any other circumstance, if it's so important that the Shliach Tzibur continue and daven the whole Shmoneh Esrei through, that we're willing to suspend Tumah Derabbanan, that would seem to indicate that in any other circumstance, who are we, for our convenience, to take the Shliach Tzibur away, when the Chachamim themselves said, we don't mind if he becomes Tamei with Tumah Derabbanan, in order for the Shmoneh Esrei to be continued uninterrupted. However, there seems to be a contrary indication to this idea in the next source, and that's a source with connection to Birkas Kohanim that you just mentioned. There's a machlokas between the Maharam of Rottenburg and Rashi. That's how this machlokas is presented. It's also a machlokas between the Shulchan Aruch and the Vilna Gaon. What is the machlokas? Apparently, some communities had a custom that when a Kohen was davening for the Amud, and it came time for Birkas Kohanim, and this part of the custom we still continue, that instead of the Shliach Tzibur being the Makrei saying, Kohanim, Yivarechicha, etc., so the Shliach Tzibur goes and takes part in the Birkas Kohanim, and the rabbi of the community, or the president of the shul, gets up and says, Kohanim, Yivarechicha, etc. So that was the minhag. So far, our minhag pretty much matches that minhag. We'll get there in a second. So, the Maram says that it's appropriate, or at least it's passable, for the rabbi or the president, when Birkas Kohanim finishes, to go on and say the last bracha of Shmoneh Esrei, to say the bracha of Sim Shalom. Meaning that the Shliach Tzibur who davened the first brachos of Shmoneh Esrei, let's say the first seven brachos of Shmoneh Esrei, so he will stop at Birkas Kohanim, and now the rabbi or the president will take over, will be the chazan for the last bracha of Shmoneh Esrei, right? The rabbi sits on one side and the Shliach Tzibur is on the other side, and so, you know, he can even be sitting in the back and it'll be fine also. He can keep on davening, he can daven from wherever he is. So how can we do that? What reason is there that could justify splitting up Shmoneh Esrei? Chachamim were willing to suspend the problem of Tumah Derabbanan in order not to split up Shmoneh Esrei, so what can justify this custom that the Maram seems to support of splitting up Shmoneh Esrei l'chatchila and letting the rabbi take over and say the bracha of Sim Shalom? So you'll be happy to know that Rashi actually seems to disagree. Rashi says that no, that whenever the chazan is a Kohen and he has to interrupt his Chazaras Hashatz for Birkas Kohanim, nonetheless, he should go back and say Sim Shalom himself. He should say it himself. One might say that Rashi was motivated in issuing this Psak Halacha by the desire not to have Chazaras Hashatz split up into two. However, there are other ways to explain Rashi's motivation as well. Yes?
When the Kohen is the Shlich Sibur, and it comes time to do it, does the Shlich Tzibur have the permission to move from, we'll say, the Amid to the front to perform the Birkas Kohanim? In other words, during the Shmoneh Esrei, you're not allowed to move your feet. But here, the Kohen has the Duchen. So is the Kohen allowed to move his feet to Duchen? Let me make my question clear.
He has to turn anyway. Think about it. He cannot. He's davening when he's davening. He's pointing that way.
Oh,
when
he's in this best man.
Any best man.
No, but
any,
it's hard to be davening in the middle.
Yeah, but he still has to turn around.
Wherever he is.
Toward the
text. No,
he doesn't have to move up.
No.
It makes a difference. The point is, he has to move physically. He has to
he has no
180 degrees, regardless.
So maybe that's the question, whether he can continue saying the Shemon Ezra once he moved. Maybe that's the machlokas.
There are a number of circumstances when a person is permitted to walk in the middle of Shemon Ezra. For instance, if a person is davening by heart and then he forgets where he's up to and he needs to get a siddur, he's allowed to walk to the shelves and get a siddur and continue Shemon Ezra. If a person is davening, I don't think it would be a good idea to go back. I think that if he's in a place where he won't be distracted next to the shelves, that if he needed to walk to the shelves to get a siddur, he should continue davening happening next to the shelves.
He jumps and turns. He actually jumps.
I'll tell you, in Eretz Yisrael, in practice, that's the way of practice. I'm going. And when I was in Avil, I dabbled in different places. In most places, you can go wash for a few minutes after finishing that, and then you come back and you turn around in front of the shtender, and you duchen from there, and the other one you duchen from in front of that. And in some, in one place at Davin Gur, over there, somebody else replaces the coin right after the end of Chazrat Hashas. He goes to wash, and he doesn't come back to the until the end of Chazrat Hashas.
You're a coin?
Yeah. So that's the two practices that I counted in Eretz Israel. And,
does he say Birkas Kohanim? He says, oh, he says, and then who says Sim Shalom?
What?
Who says Sim Shalom then?
If you're not in place, then you continue saying Sim Shalom. Or somebody from the Tzibur says the Birka Kohanim love. And even when I in this country, we had once in Young Israel a Chazan Chaim Adler from Israel, and he would turn around on the bima and on Musaf, he davened on the big bima. And he turned around and duchen from there, and somebody in the tzibur, in the kahal, would say, maybe a gabbai or the rabbi would just announce the brachot, and he turned around back after that.
And see,
the
same shalom.
So again, no.
And in Israel too, so you continue to daven. Yeah. So the most prevalent practice is to go and wash, and come back and turn around wherever you are, and do the Birkat Kohanim. And only in one place, they would replace the chazan. So they didn't want
how could he wash you were standing? I don't understand.
You go outside.
That I'm actually very surprised about. I would think that someone would just bring in a basin with water. And wash the where he is.
So right after
washing before
the beginning of Chazrat Hashas.
Okay. Yeah.
Definitely
not in
the
beginning.
He's had a lot of experience.
I'm a Kohen and I
doubt.
That's how the Dodi is.
So over the last number of decades, I've had several Shomer Mitzvah Torah Rabbanim give me different time. And it really depends on the shul. Shul number one, I left the Amid, walked up to the Bima, Duchen, came back to the Amid, and completed some Shom. That was the most extreme, but I understand that there are sources for that. In another situation, I washed at the Amid, turned around, and Duchen, and then turned around again and finished the Shom. In the most recent case, because there were several Kohanim in the shul, I was asked not to Duchen at all. Someone said Kohanim, and I was quiet throughout the entire time.
Wow.
That's
what we've done in Young Israel. Huh? That seems to be what we do in Young Israel. You're quiet, somebody else.
It depends on the coin itself sometimes, because there's certain coins
you want to
go and wash.
Wow, so this is an amazing collection of a very, very diverse minhagim, all based on...
Over here, you daven only on Yavik Tovim. In Israel, you duchen every day. And on the fast day, you duchen two times.
They're all just as proper, or...
Each shul has to follow the psak of its rav. The psak of the rav of the shul is binding on the members of the shul, and so the chazan has to always consult with the rav before he determines what to do if he's a Kohen for Birkas Kohanim. But really, I'm using the word Chazan and Shliach Tzibur interchangeably. The Rosh has a whole discussion. He says, no, Chas v'Shalom. The Chazan is one thing, the Shliach Tzibur is a different thing. And when the Gemara uses the term Shliach Tzibur, it means something other than the Chazan. When it says Chazan, it means Shliach Tzibur. And there's big Naf Kaminas Lalacha. For the purposes of this year, I'm using the terms interchangeably. So the big question that everyone asks on the Maharam is a tremendous chiddush. The Maharam says that the rabbi or the president who started off with Birkas Kohanim should continue and say Sim Shalom. So the problem is, it seems to go against the Mishnah and Maseches Brachos. The Mishnah in Brachos says that ha'over lifnei ateva lo yane amin achar kohanim mipnei ateiruf, that whoever the chazan is shouldn't say amen after the kohanim, because we're afraid he'll get confused. Again, back then, as you pointed out, everyone davened by heart, and therefore we're afraid that if he answers amen, he's going to lose his train of concentration, and he won't be able to continue with sim shalom afterwards, so he shouldn't answer amen. Ve'im ein sham kohen elohu, if he's the only kohen, if the chazan, the shliach tzibur, is the only kohen, lo yisa es kapav, the Mishnah says he shouldn't doch, and that was the third practice that you mentioned. However, if he's able, if he's confident that he can say Birkas Kohanim and go back to davening, so then Rashai, he is permitted. So this Mishnah seems to be telling us something amazing. It's better to forfeit Birkas Kohanim than it is to run the risk of the Shliach Tzibur not being able to continue Sim Shalom. So that Rishonim and Achronim ask this question on the Maharam. If it's really valid that we're permitted to have the rabbi or the chazan or the president of the shul, say Sim Shalom afterwards, so what's a worry? So let's say that the Shliach Tzibur, that the Kohen he's not confident, he thinks that he will not be able to continue with Sim Shalom, so let's appoint the rabbi to say Sim Shalom, let's let the Shliach Tzibur, the Kohen, do Birkas Kohanim, and everything will be fine. Someone will say Sim Shalom properly, the rabbi, and the Tzibur will get their Birkas Kohanim. So why is this Mishnah saying that if he's not sure that he'll be able to continue, that he should even skip Birkas Kohanim? That's a question that the Vilna Gaon and the Beis Yosef already ask on the opinion of the Maharam. And the Beis Yosef gives a very difficult answer. The Beis Yosef says, well, the Mishnah is not discussing that circumstance. Of course, it's okay if people choose to do that. However, the Mishnah is talking about if the rabbi and the president are not able to say Sim Shalom, and the only person there who's capable of saying Sim Shalom is the Shliach Tzibur. So then, Lo Yisa Es Kapav, if he's not confident that he can continue to concentrate on what he's saying. So it's a very, very difficult answer. That's why the Vilna Gaon basically rejects the opinion of the Maharam and Paskins like Rashi, and this is the minhag in most shuls, in every shul that I've davened at, that the Kohen himself, who's davening for the Amud, continues with Sim Shalom.
What kind of president
can't say something? I don't understand that. Because in those days, they weren't allowed to write a siddur.
2,000 years ago, they didn't have siddur.
They weren't allowed to write a siddur.
I'll tell you an interesting story. There was one time, I heard this from Izidi Aleph HaShalom, there was one time a man who was an Amma Aretz, he didn't really know very much, but he always like had a cheshek that he wanted to be the president of the shul. He wanted to sit up by Mizrach. So one, he became very rich somehow, and he found a shul where he was able to buy the presidency. And so he got a nice chair up on the bima next to the rabbi. And one time, so it was after Mincha and Shabbos, and he was reflecting on the davening, and he asked the rabbi. He said, "Rabbi, can you explain something to me? I don't really understand." In the pasuk of Tzidkascha, so we end off Adam uvehema toshia Hashem, that God will save man and animal. So the president says, "Rabbi, I see that some of you know the joke already." He says, "Rabbi, I don't understand. How could the pasuk have put man right there next to animal, Adam right next to behema?" So the rabbi turns to him and says, "You know, I always had that kasha also." So that's the president who can't say Sim Shalom.
That's a good answer.
So the Vilna Gaon seems to reject the Maharam, although the Shulchan Aruch accepts it. If we follow the Shulchan Aruch and the Maharam, so then there would be a strong precedent for splitting up Shmona Esrei even under Lechatchila circumstances, even under circumstances where other solutions are available. However, the Mishneh Brura limits even the relevance of the Maharam to our question about when can a Chazan be switched in the middle. And the Mishneh Brura says, Im ha-makrei kivei mitchila vad sof, harei shomea ka'one. Again, if the president or the rabbi was concentrating, was paying attention to the entire Shmon Esri of the Chazin from the beginning until the end, so that he can go on. And here the Mishneh Brura adds the critical words. It's four lines, four words from the end of this first line in the end of the Mishneh Brura. Kidei shalotia hatfila mufsekes be'alichas hachazin me'aduchon limkomo lefnei ateva. In order that the tefillah should not be mufsekes, it should not be interrupted with the chazan, and this will answer your question also, walking from the duchan, from the platform in front of the Aron Kodesh, to his place, which is lifnei ateva. So therefore, it clearly seems that the Mishneh Brura is assuming that the chazan did walk to the duchan and back in order to perform Birkas Kohanim. That seems to be the clear assumption of the Mishneh Brura. And the Mishneh Brura says it's not just something that you can do on a whim to split up Chazaras HaShatz between two Baalei Tefillah. However, in this case, to prevent the delay, to prevent the interruption, the gap, the empty space, the silence during the time that the chazan would have had to walk back, that's why you're allowed to have somebody else take over for Sim Shalom. But just stam, in the middle, a person wants to do something interesting and different in his davening, certainly not. However, even with the Mishneh Brura, it would seem that the bar for what type of circumstances justify replacing the Shliach Tzibur in the middle, according to the Maram, that bar is very significantly lowered. Even if the only thing we stand to gain is the prevention of a few moments of silence while the Chazan walks back from the Duchan to the Bima, from the platform to the Shtender, so even to just avoid those few moments of silence, that's sufficient reason to split the Chazaras HaShatz between two different Chazanim, again, according to the Maharam. There is an interesting piece of Lamdas here as well. I'll speak it out very briefly. The Beis Yosef asks the following question. He says, is Birkas Kohanim a fundamental part of Chazaras HaShatz, or is it something which is different from Chazaras HaShatz, which we happen to put into Chazaras HaShatz at that point in time? In other words, it's something grafted onto Chazaras HaShatz, but not an organic part of the davening, not an organic part of the repetition of Shmona Esrei. And the Beis Yosef says that it's a machlokas vishonim. However, I want to suggest that that might be part of what underlies this dispute between the Maharam and Rashi. If you say that Chazaras HaShatz and Birkas Kohanim are a single organic entity, so then you perceive what happens as the following. There was a Chazan, the Chazan was davening Chazaras HaShatz, but because the Chazan is a Kohen, he has to cede the Birkas Kohanim part of Chazaras HaShatz to the rabbi or to the president. Now, someone has already taken over Chazaras HaShatz, because Birkas Kohanim is already part of Chazaras HaShatz. So once somebody has already taken over, once we've already switched to a second chazan for part of Chazaras HaShatz, there's no problem, right, of having that second chazan continue. In fact, it might even be better if that chazan continues to avoid having Chazaras HaShatz switch twice. So that would be the rationale for the Maharam, that Birkas Kohanim is part of Chazaras HaShatz, and therefore, once someone has already done part of Chazaras HaShatz, we'll say that the person, the new person, should continue all the way through and finish Chazaras HaShatz. However, Rashi will tell you that Birkas Kohanim is not part of Chazaras HaShatz. It's something which is independent. It was grafted on, it was inserted there, but it's fundamentally different. And therefore, we don't view it as if someone else took over for Chazaras HaShatz. We say that the Chazan who started Chazaras HaShatz is just pausing for a little bit while somebody is doing something else, and then he will resume. So because no one has interrupted, no one else has taken over the reins of Chazaras HaShatz yet, therefore it's better for the original Chazan to continue.
The Kohanim can say it also without anybody prompting them?
If you are only Yachid, then...
Yachid, you don't say it. But anyway, then, but then no, somebody no. is just reading the word, but you don't really need it.
No, even with a Yachid about Tfila Kohen.
No, he doesn't call it Kohen.
No. He doesn't say Kohen, no, but someone still says he's a rabbi.
But he's still Makre, yes. He's still Makre.
Yeah, the Makre seems to be... It seems to be very early institution. It seems to have been...
My question is,
because people get confused around
this. Why was the Tfila Kohen? Why was this grafted on to the Chazor Zashatz?
Because of the theme, the Asim Lecha Shalom. The Asim Lecha Shalom. So that's part, that's very similar to Asim Shalom.
Yes.
So we felt that it was most appropriate to put it there. Also, that's a part, that's at the davening.
No, Rebbe, I mean,
people can say a prayer for
Rebbe. Why didn't you graft it on? It seems to me like you just said it was an automatic thing. It should have been there.
I'll give you a good mashal. And let's say that you once had a rabbi, and he gave very boring speeches. And so what happened was, is that everyone would leave for the rabbi's speech. They would go out into the hallway and do something else. So he came up with a great idea. He decided that one time in the middle of Chazaras Hashatz, he gave a clap, told the Shnefi were stop, and he gave his speech then. Captive audience.
Wow.
That's a made up story.
That's some story, Rebbe. That's some story.
That's where the Kiddush Club started. If I hear the rabbi's speech, they went to the Kiddush Club.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think that part of the reason that Birkas Kohanim is there in the middle of Shmona Esrei is because we wanted as many people to be present for the bracha as possible. And you know, as people come in and come in and come in, you're at the maximum capacity right there at the end of Musaf. So that's maybe why they put it there.
Very good, very good.
So that seems to be a survey of the circumstances under which it's permissible for a chazan to be replaced. Again, it's clear that if he faints, if he loses his voice, if he deliberately omits a bracha, if he skips vilam al shinim even accidentally, or if he loses his place and can't go back, he can't remember what to say next. Under all five circumstances, it's clear that not only may he abdicate from leading the davening, but he even must be removed and replaced by somebody else. In a case where there's tumah derabanan, so there it seems that we don't remove him. If there's tumah deoraisa, so then we do remove him. And then what happens if he was a Kohen and he interrupted for Birkas Kohanim? So then it's a machlokas between Rashi and the Maharam about whether he is replaced by the rabbi or the president for the duration of Sim Shalom, or whether he's supposed to go back and finish off Sim Shalom. So now we turn to the second question, which is, once the new chazan begins, can he simply pick up from where the old chazan left off? Or does he need to go back someplace? And this would seem to be an open shut case. It seems to be an explicit Gemara, but somehow or other, it got incredibly complicated. And it's hard to understand how this got so complicated. It seems to be an explicit Mishnah and explicit Gemara, so we're going to try to trace a little bit of how this simple Mishnah and Gemara got so complicated.
We had a case where the Hatzalah member was a Shavir at Sibor. In the middle of Chazar Shashatz, the window went off, and he left. No questions asked, and the question was, what do you do? I think we sent somebody else up there and continue where he was from. But it happens.
So this is what the Mishnah says. Meheichan hu maschil mitchilas habracha sheta'aba. It seems to be an explicit Mishnah when the Shliach Tzibur is replaced. So the new Shliach Tzibur must go back to the beginning of the bracha. So let's say that we're up to the end of the bracha. We're all the way at the end of, let's say, the middle bracha of Shmon Esrei on Rosh Hashanah. Long, long bracha with lots of piyutim. Back to the beginning. If you have to replace the Shliach Tzibur, you got to go back to the beginning. It's certainly okay and desirable even to skip the piyutim the second time around. But We'll see some sources for that in a second. However, he has to go back to the beginning of the bracha. Then the Gemara says, Ta b'shalosh rishonos chozer l'rosh. The first three brachos are considered to be a single entity. They share a single basic theme of thanksgiving to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, even if the chazan makes a mistake at the end of Ata Kadosh, and we have to replace him, the new chazan starts again at the beginning. Be'achronos chozer la'avoda. If the chazan makes a mistake, has to be replaced even towards the end of Sim Shalom, we have to go back all the way to the beginning of Ritzei. Rav Asi Amar Emtsa Yos Ein Lahen Seder. The middle brachos, let's say we're talking about during the week, Ein Lahen Seder. There's no need to go back to Atachonein if he's already up to the end of Shema Koleinu. He can just start literally from whichever bracha, the beginning of whichever bracha the old chazan interrupted in the middle of.
Pretty clear cut.
So that seems to be pretty clear cut. Where do all the problems begin? They begin with this same Maharam that we saw earlier. The Maharam we saw tells us that the rabbi or the president is supposed to pick up with Sim Shalom after the chazan, who's a kohen, goes up for Birkas Kohanim. So that seems to be against the Gemara. The Gemara says, if he's toa be'achronos, the last three brachos, Ritzei, Modim, and Sim Shalom, and we have to replace the chazan during the course of those last three brachos, that the replacement chazan needs to go back to Ritzei. So how can the Maharam have said that the replacement chazan can just start from Sim Shalom? It gets to the point even where Rabbi Akiva Eger says that if you know that you're going to have to implement the Maharam, that what really should happen is that the rabbi should start taking over from the chazan at Ritzei, in order to eliminate the redundancy, a chazan himself saying Ritzei and then Modim, and then the rabbi having to go back and repeat Ritzei and Modim. If you know that the rabbi is going to anyhow have to go back and repeat Ritzei and Modim, because he's going to be taking over for the Shliach Tzibur, so then just let the rabbi take over Lechatchila at Ritzei. That's how Rabbi Akiva Eger phrases this question on the Maharam. So the answer would seem to be that there must be two different types of circumstances, two different types of cases, one of which the Gemara is discussing, and the other which the Maharam is discussing. And the way that we would phrase that is to say that the Gemara is discussing a case where the replacement Shliach Tzibur wasn't concentrating on the original Shliach Tzibur. He wasn't paying attention to Chazaras Hashatz, or even worse, if he talked in the middle of Chazaras Hashatz. So then we cannot view his tefillah as being an organically integrated part of the original Shliach Tzibur's tefillah. Therefore, he has to go back to the beginning of the section, to the beginning of Ritzei, to the beginning of the part of Chazaras Hashatz that's dealing with the Hodah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the part of things. Because he's a new person. He's saying a new unit. He's not simply taking over in the middle of a unit, he's saying his own unit anew, and therefore he's got to go back to the beginning of the unit. That's when the Gemara says he must go back to Avoda. However, if he was paying attention, if he was concentrating on every word without talking in the middle, then he would be permitted to pick up from where the Shliach Tzibur left off, like the Maharam said. The Maharam said that the Shliach Tzibur left off right before Sim Shalom. The new Shliach Tzibur can pick up with Sim Shalom. The reason being, since he was concentrating on everything that the Shliach Tzibur had said, therefore he's considered to be integrated organically with the tefillah of the Shliach Tzibur. He's just picking up really with the Shliach Tzibur's tefillah. So that's what would seem to emerge from the contradiction between the Maharam and the Gemara. But it gets even more complicated.
Why?
Because everyone seems to draw the exact opposite inference from the Maharam. The exact opposite inference. Namely, we said the Gemara is talking about where the Shliach Tzibur, the new replacement, had not been concentrating. The Maharam is talking about a case where the replacement was concentrating. Say the Beis Yosef and Rabbi Akiva Eger, just the opposite. The Gemara is talking about a case where the Shliach Tzibur was concentrating, and somehow when he was not concentrating will be even more machmir. I'll just draw your attention for a moment to the second to last source. That's Rabbi Akiva Eger in Or HaChaim Siman Kuf Chaf Vav. The third to last line, it's underlined. It says V'chein Ikla. This actually occurred, it transpired B'kihila Kadisha Pozna, in Posen, which was a town Rabbi Akiva Eger was the rabbi in, B'yom HaKippurim Shnas Tafkuf Tzadi Aleph. Here I put in the English date, the year 1830, in Posen, where Rabbi Akiva Eger was a rabbi. Betfilas Shachris, during Shachris, Bepayit shall say their Kedusha during the Piyot, during Kedusha, meaning in between Ata Gibor and Ata Kadosh. So there were poems that were recited at that point. Achaz tochol shol leachazin. Pretty early on in Shmona Esrei, the chazin was seized with weakness. V'hutzrach acher leirei lifnei ateva. And someone else had to replace him at the shtender. V'horesi, says Rabbi Kiviger, I paskind. I was there, thankfully, and I paskind. Sheha acher shelo kivein imashatz. The replacement Shliach Tzibor had not been paying attention, and oy vavoy, he had to suffer the consequences. Sheyachzor lerosh hatfila, he had to go back to the beginning of davening again, although below Amiras Apayet, without saying all of the piyutim. So this was Rabbi Kiviger's psak, and Rabbi Kiviger said that he based himself on the Hagos Maimonios. Yes.
Basically paying attention. If the guy had been paying attention, then he wouldn't have had to go
then
back.
He would not have had right. to, precisely. So the lesson that we learn from here is that if you think that you might be called on to replace the Shliach Tzibur, you better pay attention to every word, because if you don't, then everyone's going to know it.
It's the tears on them.
So how did Rabbi Akiva Eger get this from the Hagos Maimonios? So he tells you very interestingly. The Hagos Maimonios seems to require that if the rabbi or the president is going to take over for Sim Shalom, he had to have been concentrating from the beginning of Shmona Esrei, from Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Ve'Elokei Avoseinu Elokei Avraham, all the way until Sim Shalom. Why so early? Why isn't it sufficient, says Rabbi Kiviger, for him to have been concentrating from the beginning of Ritzei? So Rabbi Kiviger says it must be that if he was concentrating from... It must be, says Rabbi Kiviger, that the Hagos Maimonios understand that there's only two options. Either go back to the beginning of Shmona Esrei, right, or pick up from where you left off. And therefore, again, we can read this inside. This is first underlined in that Rabbi Kiviger. Hayesh lomar, taima da Hagos Maimonios, dekasav ditzarach li zayar shlo yamor acher lahakros v'lomar sim shalom. The reason that Hagos Maimonios requires a person to have kavana for everything, because if there was no kavana, this was a suggestion that we said earlier, if the tzibur was concentrating, he can pick up from where he left off, and if he wasn't concentrating, then he needs to go back to Ritzei. The Efsher, says Rabbi Kiviger, if he was concentrating from the beginning of Ritzei, so then he could go back to the beginning of Ritzei. The fact that Hagos Maimonios requires the Shliach Tzibur to be concentrating from the beginning of Shmona Esrei would suggest that the alternative to concentrating is going back literally to the beginning of Shmona Esrei. In other words, Rabbi Kiviger's understanding that even though the Gemara seems to split Shmona Esrei into three groups, the initial thanksgiving to Hashem, followed by the Bakashos, followed by another round of thanksgiving, says Rabbi Kiviger, no, they're really much more integrated. They're really a single entity. And therefore, if someone was not concentrating from the beginning to the end, even if they were concentrating from Ritzei until the end, it's not enough. Concentration from Ritzei until the end is not enough. He either was concentrating from the beginning to the end, in which case he can pick off where the old Shliach Tzibur left off, or he was not concentrating from the beginning to the end, in which case he needs to go back all the way to the beginning. What does Rabbi Kiviger do with the Gemara? I have no idea what he does with the Gemara. The Gemara says, Ta bishalosh achronos chozer la'avoda. So when, according to Rabbi Kiviger, will the Shliach Tzibur be chozer la'avoda? I'm not sure. If he wasn't concentrating from beginning to end, he goes back to the beginning. If he was concentrating from beginning to end, he goes back to Sim Shalom. So when does he ever go back to the beginning of Avoda? So this is a question which I think is very troublesome to Rabbi Kiva Eger. And Rabbi Kiva Eger actually got into a machlokas about this question with his father-in-law, with the Chassam Sofer. We know Rabbi Kivi Eger's second marriage was to the daughter of the Chassam Sofer. They say that Rabbi Kivi Eger was a few decades older than the Chassam Sofer's daughter. And when the Shidduch was suggested, the Chassam Sofer mentioned it to his daughter. So she said to him, Tati, but he's so old. And the Chassam Sofer said back to her, then you'd better run and catch him before he gets any older. So that's to appreciate Rabbi Kivi Eger. Yeah. Yeah, Chassam Sofer had to give his daughter a little bit of muscle. It's Rabbi Kivi Eger. Rabbi Kivi Eger, catch him before he gets any older. So there was the Chassam Sofer has a tshuva where he's responding to Rabbi Kivi Eger's kasha and also addressing another circumstance where the Shliach Tzibur needed to be replaced in the middle of davening. And he tells us, here it's the underline of the Chassam Sofer, B'nidon Shliach Tzibur shenishtatek, he lost his voice, B'slichos Musaf Yom HaKippurim. It was in the middle of the Slichos of Musaf. Some places have a minhag to say slichos during all of the tefillos. I know that Yeshiva University has that minhag. Many other places don't have that minhag, but apparently in Pressburg, the town of the Chassam Sofer, the minhag was to say slichos during all of the Shmoneh Esreis. So the Shliach Tzibur lost his voice in the middle of slichos of Musaf. V'hu amar acher tachtov, someone else had to take over. The hischiel b'makom shenishtatek, and the new Shliach Tzibur took over literally from the place where the old Shliach Tzibur left off. The lo me rosh birkas atav b'chartanu, again, seemingly against the Gemara. The Gemara says you go back to the tchilas habracha, and here the Shliach Tzibur took over literally from the word where the previous Shliach Tzibur left off. And the Chassam Sofer says, there were many Rabbanim, hayusham ge'onim chach mehoyir. There were many great people who were there, and they didn't say a word. So the Chassam Sofer says, they were correct. They were correct not to say anything. And why not, says the Chassam Sofer? Because if you understand how the brachos of Shmoneh Esrei work, they work as follows. There are certain themes that the brachos are built around. The initial legislation, perhaps, for the brachos of Shmoneh Esrei included the fact that this theme needed to be mentioned. And then, on top of that, there were particular words that were instituted to evoke and to mention that theme. However, b'di'eved, if one didn't use all of those words, but nonetheless hit on all the themes that were initially required as part of this bracha, they have been yotzei the bracha. We find that by Birkas HaMazon also, if a person looks through the halachos of Birkas HaMazon, he'll discover that the Shulchan Aruch keeps on telling you certain things, if you leave out, it's okay. You don't have to bench again. But other things, if you leave out, you do have to bench again. And the reason for that is because there are certain things that were part of the decree. This is the bracha, it needs to have these themes in it. If you mention all the themes, you've fulfilled the obligation to say the bracha. If you mentioned all the themes, and even if you left out everything else, so you still have fulfilled the basic core obligation for saying this bracha. Says the Chassam Sofer, because all of the themes of the middle bracha of Shmoneh Esrei on Yom Kippur are repeated after the slichos, therefore the Shliach Tzibur who took over was not missing any of the themes. He is essentially has said the entire bracha from the beginning. He hit theme number one, he hit theme number two, he hit theme number three, he hit theme number four, he got them all. So fundamentally, he has fulfilled the Gemara's obligation of saying the bracha from the beginning. From the beginning doesn't necessarily mean from the first word that appears in the Siddur, but rather it means from the first critical, unalterable theme that Chazal decreed for the bracha. That's an amazing chiddush that the Chassam Sofer says, as long as you got all the themes. By the way, that's why it's very important to understand all the themes of Shmoneh Esrei. A person has to know what's a critical theme and what is simply embellishment in order to know what happens if you start in the middle. Have you got all the themes? Have you not got all the themes? What are the themes of each bracha of Shmoneh Esrei during the Yamim Noraim? So the Chassam Sofer knew, he said, this is the place to start off. All the themes are present after the slichos in the middle bracha. Then the Chassam Sofer turns and addresses Rabbi Kivi Eger's question. He says, what are we going to do about this Maram who says that you're allowed, that the Shliach Tzibur is allowed to take over from Sim Shalom? Doesn't the Gemara say the opposite? Doesn't the Gemara say that you have to go back to Ritzei. And to that he says something incredibly amazing. He says that over the course of history, through the sanction of the Geonim, the nature of the themes, the nature of the integration of the brachos of Chazaras Hashatz actually changed. It shifted over time. This gets back to your question also. In the times of the Gemara, they didn't necessarily, I mean, we know that they did say Birkas Kohanim during Sim Shalom, but apparently they didn't preface Birkas Kohanim with a little tefillah, Elokeinu ve'elokei avoseinu barachinu v'abracha mishulashes. And therefore, says the Chasam Sofer, in the times of the Gemara, the three brachos, Ritzei, Modim, and Sim Shalom, were all integrated a single entity, and anyone who made a mistake during those three had to go back to the beginning of that entity. However, says the Chasam Sofer, and this is worth seeing inside. That far down? Okay, you got it. Well, if he says the Chasam Sofer, we have a practice of saying Elokeinu v'elokei avoseinu, u'kemosha kasa b'yisi Yosef kuf chav ches, im kain, nowadays, mufsakim heim gimel ha'achronos. Now, each one is its own separate theme. They're not considered to be all of a single theme. V'zeh ha'makrei shehischil Elokeinu v'elokei avoseinu barchinu. Therefore, Yigmar Sim Shalom, he can continue just Sim Shalom. He does not go back to Ritzei, because now Sim Shalom is continued to have its own independent, separate theme from the previous brachos. He says maybe nowadays the first three brachos also are separate. The Chasam Sofer says it's something that needs a lot of investigation, how it's possible for the integration of the first three and the last three brachos to have metamorphosed over time. What was it that was so important that impelled the Geonim to institute additions, to institute new things in the middle of Chazaras Hashatz that separated the integration of those three brachos? The Chasam Sofer said that needs a lot of investigation. But at the end of the day, he says, that might be the justification for the Agos Maimonios, who says that the rabbi or the president picks up with Sim Shalom, because he doesn't have to go back to the beginning of Avoda as long as he was Mechavein, because those three brachos are no longer considered a single integrated entity. Tomorrow, the Shir Be'ezras Hashem